Hi, I'm Kyle, and on episode 490 of the MWA podcast, Sean and Brian and myself are asking Andy Glenn the five questions. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out Andy's interview on episode 489. So welcome back to the show, Andy.
Thanks, guys. Good to be back.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we get started, who do we have to thank this week?
Yeah, great. We have a big thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. On this episode, we're giving a big shout out to Michael Jury, who is a great guest on the show a few months ago, talented chairmaker as well. If you would like to support the MWA podcast, you can do so by going to www.patreon.com/MWA podcast, and we would very much appreciate your support.
Yes. Thanks so much, Michael. Well, let's get into the five questions. So, Andy, what is your favorite tool? And before you answer, our limit is 23.
Right. Yeah. I figure this was a multiple choice answer. You know, I limited it to two. Any day that I use the draw knife is a good day. And so I think I look forward to the draw knife the most because it means I'm on the shave horse usually and I'm working greenwood. But my favorite tool of all is the Lee Nielsen little brass bodied low angle block plane.
Yes. I have one of those.
Yeah, it's just a charming tool, and I've started to try to figure out how I can use it in anything I'm making. So, you know, it's now it shapes spindles and posts and rungs and all sorts of things.
Yes. I haven't quite got up the nerve to use it on the lathe. I see a lot of people using the little small block plane on the lathe.
I don't know about that.
You're just holding it different, right? I mean, you're going to tilt it off to the side and you're
for our listeners, Andy, you know, nodded his head with a knowing nod. So do you use your block plane on the lathe?
I have used it before.
Okay.
I usually don't.
Okay.
But if it's a gentle taper or a straight cylinder, it does a nice job. It gives you that glossy surface without sanding. I mean, it does its job.
It's just a finishing move. It's not a, you're not going to start with
skew.
I need to get down there and start trying that out because I keep thinking about it. And then when I'm at the lathe, I'm just going, this is the way I've always done it. And then when I'm done, I'm like, oh, I should have grabbed the block plane and gave it a shot, you know.
It's a brass body, though, man. It's not going to survive getting launched across the shop. The catch that sucker.
I have more than one block plane.
New tools are never bad.
Yeah, there you go. And then it's a trophy on the wall.
Okay, so what's your number two?
Well, it was a draw knife.
Okay, yeah. So what's your favorite draw knife? Do you have a favorite one?
I have a Weatherby Straight 8 draw knife. You know, I think I picked it up. There's a great tool shop around here, Liberty Tools, used tools. And so I probably picked it up there at some point.
How many draw knives do you have?
Oh, yeah.
I only have three.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and you call yourself a chairmaker.
Exactly. It'll grow over time, you know.
Well, I noticed you do have quite a selection of spoke shaves, by you know.
Yeah, everything seems to accumulate. But, now that we're all run classes here, I think I'll have more on hand. But I tried to run pretty lean. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to run lean with my tools. So, yeah.
Well, you know, to be fair, I have a whole bunch of draw knives, but I'm not 12, 15 maybe. But yeah, there's probably like three I constantly.
Yeah, that you.
Yeah.
Use. I have five.
Yeah, five.
So much better.
I have one, but I've never made a chair in my life, so I don't count. Anyway, so Andy, next question. Who has influenced you the most?
Probably Dan Fea, who trained me at North Bennett Street. You know, I had four instructors there at North Bennett, primary instructors there at North Bennett Street, furniture makers, longtime furniture makers, Steve Brown, Alex Krutsky, and Lance Patterson. I've been in contact with Dan ever since for the past 15 years, and both as a friend and as a mentor, as I've worked through the field, I can head towards him with questions, both woodworking related and also woodworking adjacent. So, and then as far as chairs, it was, I love the chairs, you know, if we're just talking Windsors, I love Greg Pennington's chairs, Pete Galbert's chair, especially contemporary, those contemporary Windsors he makes. But Curtis Buchanan, both in the chair making and in, you know, his approach to it, just the way he goes about considering technology, considering the size and scale of the work. I found that quite inspiring.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So what is your woodworking white whale, i.e. the thing that you haven't made yet, but you've always wanted to?
You know, my mind doesn't quite work like this. I didn't have a white whale. What I thought was I like to see what people are making or see, you know, there's so much that I'm impressed with. And so I love going to the museum to, you know, when we were in Boston, we were at the Museum of Fine Arts as often as we could to see, you know, different styles, different, the different styles of furniture. As I worked on that question, I thought of, where my mind went was, to Jeff Miller, who I don't know, I've never met Jeff. But he makes just incredible, you know, he makes incredible chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at them, I can't process how he goes about it. I can't find the, usually when I see furniture and I analyze it, I start to like, I think, all right, oh, okay, there's the reference. They build from here, you know, and here's the like language of the piece. Jeff's work is so interesting, and so what I wrote down was like, I guess my white whale would be like what I think of is like understanding more of like how Jeff approaches the work, how he thinks through the work and sees the work. So that's a, you know, it's a horrendous answer to your question, but you know, that's,
no, it's a great answer.
No, and that, you're, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I would encourage you to travel out to Chicago and to spend some time with Jeff. He's a great guy. Fantastic. Very
understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice. You should have, he was at Handworks. Just
a little bit to your left,
right down the to your left.
We may have met. I don't know. Handworks is the whirlwind. So,
but no, he's great. We had him on the podcast a couple of years ago and he was just fantastic. And, yeah. He talked about some of the stuff he does. I think there was one chair and it took him forever to figure out, but he had like three pieces of wood coming together and how he was going to do that. And it took him months to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then once it did, boom, there you go. But
I mean, his carving thing that he had at Handworks.
Yeah. He's doing these
machine pivoting,
yeah,
scraping thing. And you knew it. You can tell by looking at this machine that he's built that his mind spun and spun and spun to get it to work. And he was telling me how like the angles and how depth and all these other things was involved. And just finding new uses for different things that already existed and just intuitive, you know, ingenuity. He's good for it for sure.
I think I'm really, there's all sorts of work that I love and see, but I'm really drawn to like approaches and perspectives and makers who work completely differently than my life. And Brian Boggs is one of them. Like the body of work and the work he does is incredible. But as you know, we've had a few conversations, including for the book. My mind works where if a tool's not working well, I need to figure out how to work it. To work with it better, sharpen it better, learn how to use the tool. Brian's mind works where he makes a whole new tool that does what he wants it to do. And it's just, you know, so spending time around that's pretty exciting, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Exactly.
All right, Andy. So what would you say is your biggest stumbling block?
Stumbling block. You know, I of course I wish I was a bit faster in the shop, you know. That's a constant, I don't know if that's a stumbling block. I have some strengths as a woodworker. The more I do it, the more I recognize my weaknesses as well. One of them's, the quality, of like fixtures and, making things for, repeated success in the future. you know, I'll make them, but I could, when I see some of the other things out there, the work that goes into them, I recognize that I could do a bit better there.
Yeah,
I recently had one of those moments. I had a little fixture that I made for assembling one of my jigs, and it was just like, yeah, I kind of threw this together and it worked. And then it came to a time, you know what? I really need to improve this, you know. And one of the things that happened to it was I had everything was screwed down to this board, and this board got out of flat and it needs to be flat. So I needed to run it through the planer. But when I just assembled it, I just slapped a fence on there with some PVA glue and CA glue, you know, just boom, boom, boom. So I was like, all right, well, I can't take this fence off.
Yeah, you're starting over.
Yep. Yeah, let me just remake this and make sure everything's done. But, you know, it's one of those things, after using something you slapped together for a while, when you remake it, it was like, oh, yeah, I can remake this. I'll be back in an hour. 3 hours later, I'm finally finishing it, you know.
For sure.
If it was 3 hours, it might have been more like four. But anyway.
So how has the internet influenced your work?
You know, at the best of times, the internet is encouraging and engaging. At the worst of times, the internet's, you know, I'll run into, you know, I'll become discouraged by, you know, comparing my work to others. You know, sometimes I'm on Instagram. So Instagram can be a place where there's so many beautiful things, but they can come all, everything comes at you at once, and it can be a bit overwhelming. But I think why I'm on there, why I'm on the internet, why I'm on social media is for the community part of this, to see what other people are making and to engage with it. There's some incredible stuff out there, both in, you know, within kind of the realm that I reside, you know, custom furniture and green woodworking and chairs, but you know, conceptual work. You know, the studio furniture work that's being done, it's fun to see. And you know, what I appreciate about the internet and social media is that it can get me out of my own head and out of this shop a little bit to communicate with others that are in this community with us.
Cool.
Great answer.
Fantastic. Well, so with that, Andy, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I'm on Instagram, andy.d.glenn. And my website is andydglenn.com.
And don't forget to visit Lost Art Press to get Andy's book, The Backwoods Chairmaker. So, Brian, where can folks find you?
Instagram is where I live. It's at Obst Woodworks, and Obst is just simply OBST. Kyle, how about you?
You can always find me on Instagram at Barton.Kyle or BB Custom Tools, bbcustomtools.com, or on YouTube under BB Custom Tools and Kyle Barton. Sean, what about yourself?
Per usual, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.